Am I good? Okay. Hi. Took every chair away. I need stuff to put things on. All right, so now it's my turn. We'll see what we get with this. Ever since I was little, I wanted to be a mom. I've had Cabbage Patch Kid dolls, dollhouses, bossed my siblings around. They will tell you that because I was one of the older kids. Thankfully, God granted me the desire, and I'm a mom. So being a mom is an important role of the family, whether you are a part-time worker and stay-at-home mom, or if you're a full-time mom. We all know we play vital roles in our kids' lives. We feed them, we change them, we clothe them, we encourage them, we disciple them, and we tell them where the stuff is, because for some reason they can't find it, ever. And all while doing that, we're trying to grow people who are not going to be jerks when they get older. So those of us who are children of God are also trying to provide a home where Christ is the center. Like my mom and mother-in-law said, they tried to provide that home for Doug and I, and now we're trying to pass that on to our kids. So Doug is a podcast listener. He like sends me all this kind of stuff to listen to because I'm in the car a lot. And one of the interviews that I listened to was the Ortlands. She was talking about how her devotion, during her devotions, she heard a verse in Deuteronomy. It was Deuteronomy 23:2-3. It said, "No one born of a forbidden union may enter the assembly of the Lord, even to the 10th generation. None of his descendants may enter the assembly of the Lord. No Ammonite or Moabite may enter the assembly of the Lord, even to the 10th generation. None of them may enter the assembly of the Lord forever." So she went on and said that God was serious when you disobeyed, like he excluded people to the 10th generation. However, she said, "I don't know how God was showing me." I'm like, "Okay, God, you're excluding all these people. What are you showing me?" So God then told her that he likes to bless people more than he likes to exclude people. In this time of passage, this was the generation after Moses was talking to the new generation of people who entered the promised land. The older generation, they're the ones that were prisoners to Pharaoh. They had the 10 plagues. They crossed the Red Sea. They complained. They sinned. And then God punished them for not trusting him. And they could not enter the promised land. So this was that next generation. And he was giving them rules and laws to follow. This group of people were having ungodly unions. That's what he was referring to, their ungodly unions. Some of the Jewish writers defined the ungodly unions as incestual relationships between the Jews, and others said it referred to mixed marriages between the Jewish people and their pagan neighbors. So like I said, this woman, Jan Ortlund, was saying, if you can exclude these group of people, how much more do you want to bless group of people? I was talking to Duff, I guess it was last night maybe, and just asked him, like, in the Bible, how many times does it say cursing people and how many times does it say blessing? Blessing was 3 times as much in the Bible. So God really does want to bless people. In the same book, in Deuteronomy 23:5, the Lord your God turned the curse into a blessing for you because the Lord your God loved you. In Deuteronomy 28:2, it says, all the blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. In Deuteronomy 13:19, it says, I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life that you and your offspring may live. In Proverbs 28:20, it says, a faithful man will abound with blessings. In Ephesians 1-3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed in Christ with every spiritual beating, blah, blah, with every, how come I changed the page? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. God delights more in blessing. So then she started thinking, and then I started thinking, about future generations. So this verse said, to the 10th generation. I will hopefully know 6 generations. I have my grandparents, my parents, me, my kids, I'm sorry, yes, and my grandkids, because it's only five. And then maybe a grandchild, that's what I was hoping, grandchild. So my boys might even be able to experience seventh generation, because whereas I did not know my great-grandparents, they knew their great-grandparents. So we're gonna do a quick little math. If I'm wrong, Mike, please do not tell people. So I married my wonderful husband in 2006. So that's the first generation, there's two of us. We then have four boys. So the second generation is four. They hopefully, God willing, one day, bless those women, will get married, and there will be eight in the next generation. Those couples will have children, I guesstimated like three kids each. So now there are 12 in the third generation. They get married, so now there's 24 in the third generation. So mathing right along to the 10th generation, there could be a possibility of 78,728 little Emmons Daniels running around. 78,728 of us. That's a lot of sarcastic, little hair boys running around. Maybe five girls will be in the bunch, we're hoping, but y'all know we make boys. So in comparison, the population of Mount Holly is 9,900. So again, 78,728. And again, I only have four boys, so people who have more children or less children, obviously those numbers will vary, but that's still a lot of people. So what I do now, how I influence my family, how I show Jesus in my home, could have a lot of impact on the world later on in our life. There are some things that you can't control. For instance, my dad has curly hair. I have curly hair. Three of my boys hate it, but they have curly hair, wavy hair. This is something that I can't pass down. However, there are things that we can control, we can pass down. So today I was going to talk about some of the things that we are going to pass down. One of them is devotion to Jesus that you can pass down to your family. Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 7 states, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. Like my mom said, I was blessed to grow up in a Christian home. Both Doug's family and my family, we went to Sunday school, we did all the church things. We did Awana, we did youth groups, we did Christian camp in the summer. They told us to turn to Jesus in times of need, in times of sorrow, in times of hope, and when you are thankful. My mom served in the church. We prayed before dinner, we did devos. I even still have a little devo book that my kids have done. We were told Bible stories. We were baptized at a young age. We were told how to do communion, why we do communion. When I was remembering all of this, I was thinking like a tangible moment that I remember of my mom and dad showing Jesus in our home. And I was probably in second or third grade. I had an assigned seat on the bus because we were in not a great township, so you had assigned seats at that time. I sat next to a little girl who we bonded because her birthday was a week before mine. So we were excited. It was only like a week apart. So like my mom said, I could have her over if I invited her to church. So I invited her to VBS. The next week, she came to our VBS. From that day on, she came to everything. She came to VBS, youth groups. And in order to do that, a lot of times she would spend the night Saturday night into Sunday, and she would hang out with us Sunday after church. My parents picked her up for Sunday school, Awana, youth group, that summer camp that I went to over the summer. She was my bunkmate. She became a member of the family. She saw love in my parents that led her to the Lord. She was baptized the same day I was baptized. And looking back, I am sure it was, I just know my house of how we try to get out the door and go somewhere, and it's bananas. This girl's house was kind of along the way, but not really. And again, there was a lot of us. So like the 12 passenger van was almost already full to capacity, and we would be throwing in another kid. So I found out later on that she had a rough life. So I am sure that there were things that happened along the way that my parents sheltered me from. from giving money to her, not to her, but so that she could do these activities, providing a safe environment while mom was working, and just showing her that she was loved. So I was like doing, again, more mathing in my head, and I realized in second grade, you're about 7. This girl was with us until she could drive herself. My parents did this for 10 years. 10 years they poured into this girl, along with all of us other kids, and they showed me how to be a light for Christ in our home to someone else, and was just a great example. So kids don't always need the stuff. We as mom need to show them sincerity, forgiveness, laughter, gentle conversation, sometimes hard conversations, warmth. Our house, we need to show them sarcasm, because that's what we do. And I am blessed to be able to be at home at my boys so that I can point them to Jesus, especially when they were younger. Or when I messed up and was not pointing them to Jesus, I had a little bit of extra time to turn it around and then point them to Jesus. Chris did a great job because I was telling him what we were doing, and I was just saying, when we were little, I said, we used to sing all the songs. We sang Jesus Loves Me, This Little Light of Mine, and he incorporated that into today, which I really appreciate. Prayer is something else that we did in our household. We are the source for our children as moms and the resource. A lot of the times, we're their people. They come to us, sometimes too much, but they come to us when they are little. So it is our job, again, to show discipline, to show them where we look in times of needs, in times of thankfulness, and how we handle situations. So we can show them to look towards Jesus, or we can show them to look towards the world. So one thing we do is we pray. The time of prayer is not new to our family. Like my mom said, they do text my boys every week and say, how can we pray for you? They used to pray for me, with me, when I was a kid. Again, I found out later on when I was marrying Doug that they prayed for him since before they knew him. They prayed for him like you would be praying for your baby girl now, Cole, when she's like this little, for her future husband, which is a little scary. But so things like that. So moms, pray for your family. Pray for your kids. Pray for your future spouses. Pray for your grandkids, your great-grandkids. Be a mom who will be remembered as a prayer warrior. Can I skip a page? One of the stories I was going to tell is how Doug's grandmom was a prayer warrior. She didn't know me. She had dementia. So every time we introduced her to me, and then eventually we introduced her to my kids. It was funny when we introduced her and Doug's like, this is my girlfriend and these are our children. And her face would be like, and I'm like, no, we're actually married. These are our kids. Like, because, you know, Doug likes to do things like that. But in her nursing home, she would be known as a prayer warrior. The nurses there would know she was a religious woman. Again, she didn't know half the time where she was, what the date was, who we were, but she would hold Bible studies. She would be praying for people, and they just knew her as a prayer warrior, and that's a great thing to pass down. Time with God, devotions are always pointing people back to God, is another thing in Deuteronomy 11:19. It says, you shall teach them to your children, talking of them when you are sitting in your home, when you're walking by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. So God was telling the Israelites in this passage that their children did not see all the miracles that they had witnessed. This verse was telling them and reminding them to tell their children of all the things that God has done for them. We like to tell our kids of all the things God has done for us, how he's provided for us. So Duff asked last week, what are we pursuing? Are we pursuing money, relationships, a good job, good grades, good kids? All of these things are great. They're good things to pursue. But are you pursuing them with the intent of spreading God's love and showing how God cares for them? Remember, we are a source and a resource for our children. We talk about sermons in our house. We talk about pregame at dinner. We talk about youth group, typically late at night now, and on our car rides. We do devos before bed. When they were little, we did Bible stories and we did songs. We've shown them when we are frustrated, that you're allowed to be frustrated, and that you're allowed to have things that are unhappy. You're allowed to cry out your frustration to God. However, you always have to remember that Jesus loves you, and that's something that you can just hang your hat on. You are a missionary to your child. You are the one that's teaching them the priorities of brushing their teeth, of washing their hands, and also of making Jesus the one who you run to in time of need. Again, we try to tell them this is why we do certain things. This is why we go to a youth group. This is why we make this a priority in our lives. And again, like my mom said, we have godly friends and the church family who share our values. So they also speak into our children's lives. So moms, like, surround yourself with other moms who can speak into your kids. In 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11, it says, as each has received a gift, use it to one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. So this talks about serving. My grandfather did not have deep theological conversations with me. He was a matter-of-fact man. He didn't keep up with technology. I programmed his TV set, his phone, all the things, butt dial, all the things many, many times. He is not even someone that would like keep a prayer journal, but he is a man who went to church faithfully, and like you got today, he had candy in his pocket. So we would sit in the back row at church, always listening. He was always listening, or he was always giving us the look to listen. And then to help us listen, we would all be sucking on candy in the back row. However, he showed us that he loved Jesus by serving. Like my mom said, he was a great builder. He could fix anything and everything, from cars to buildings to toilets. He served the church faithfully. If the church bus broke down, he fixed it. If a toilet broke, he fixed it. If a room needed painted, if he needed to be built, he would do it. Not only would he do all of those things, but he wouldn't charge for his services. And he was not a rich man by any means, but he basically said, this is what I can do for the church. Even later on, when I became a mom and we were at Easton at the time, I was in charge of a mom's group called MOPS. And I had a project that I wanted the moms to do. So I took all the stuff. Actually, my grandpa helped me. I got all the stuff together and I'm like, this is what I want to make. And he goes, all right, I can do that. So we went into his garage and he helped me start this project that the moms would assemble later, glue things to later on. But again, he did not charge me for any of his time, for any of the supplies that he used. I don't know if at the time that he, I'm sure he probably had something else he could be doing, but he spent that time with me. And we did this for 25 moms. So he was a man who served and who showed service to others. Serve with your children, not only to your children. My boys can tell you they have mowed many a grass for lakes, for other people's. They have picked weeds at strangers' houses. They have moved people, and all of these are with Doug. With me, they have gone on many car rides, dropped off meals, and visited people. Currently, we're doing a young married Bible study. So Tuesday, you will find many of them vacuuming, mopping, getting things for me, and also even babysitting the kids at night. So mom, talk to your kids about why you're doing these things, how you are showing other people God's love by what you do. When you volunteer to set up church on Sunday morning, it helps us show them that not only are we fellowshipping, but that you making church a priority, that we're not sleeping in on Sunday. It's important that we go to church, that we see the people that help us grow, and that we listen to what Duff has to say. So prayer, doing devotion, serving together, sometimes in misery, those are all things that show God's love. So these are just examples of what our family does. Your family could look a lot different. Your family could look a lot different. What if you don't have kids yet? You can still be a source. There's time right now to build your foundation. Be the best aunt, teacher, friend, cool adult for them to hang out with. Not everybody always talks to our parents. Our youth group leaders have a huge influence on our boys. I am so thankful for our youth team and their godly wisdom, their teachings. We have one that loves to try to stump Mike every week and have debates with him. We have another that Cole has picked up when one of their friends passed, just to have conversations with, just to pour into our boys. That is so meaningful as a parent. And for them, hopefully, that's them building the foundation that they can eventually pour into further generations. If you're still in the single stage, it matters who you marry. I always tell my kids, I'm gonna yell it till I'm blue in the face. It matters who you marry. They have great influence over you, great influence over your future generations. Marry somebody that's gonna point you to the cross and who is also standing next to you, looking with you at the cross. If you are not yet a parent, or if you have children who are young, talk to your spouse about how parenting will look. Study to and have good resources for your future. Work on your relationship so that when your kids look at you, look at your marriage, they say, God is in that marriage, because that is something different. So I have said in the past that when Jack was born, he was a late night person. He also liked to be very active at night, and I love sleep. So at 2 a.m., I didn't always remember all of the cool worship songs or all of the in-depth Bible study, things that I have learned. So Jack ended up hearing, for me to stay awake, a lot of Jesus loves me, this little light will shine, this is the day, and Jesus loves the little children, because that's what I could remember. Also, I taught first grade before kids, so they learned, I taught a lot of easy Bible verses, but they all had motions to them. So for some reason, shocker, when there's motions to something, I learn it better. So poor Jackson as a baby would have me going like all these weird motions or things that would rhyme to Twinkle Twinkle Little Star as Bible verses that I can remember at night because I was just trying to survive. If you're a teen, listen up, boys. If you are a teen, grow your foundation. Again, I appreciate our youth group right now because they are asking questions about who God is and why they believe what they believe. You could be in a baby stage of faith. You need to think about why you believe what you believe and if that is something that you should continue to believe or if that's something that you need to change because the youth pastor or youth leaders are having you think and get a little bit more deeper into it. You have tons more resources in your quiver, if you want to say, or at your disposal. Be careful of using the Googleizer. They're not always right. Go to the Bible, go to your youth group leaders. Yes, Google can help, but again, make sure you check with people to make sure that's a good source. Pray, get into God's word, serve. Serving doesn't necessarily mean always going to Camp Arrowhead, which I really appreciate that they go to. But serving could mean serving your siblings. Even when they're miserable and you don't want to do it and they're not happy about it, they're sometimes the hardest people to serve is your siblings or your mom or your dad and just not on Mother's Day and Father's Day. For those of us who have children that are older or grandchildren that do not yet believe, I would encourage you to keep inviting them to church, keep inviting them to dinner, keep inviting them to family functions, to all the things. How can they see the light of Jesus through you if they don't see you? God is growing you through those times too. I actually have a couple brothers who don't yet believe, and I know that my parents have been brought to their knees more times than not, praying for them, more probably than they've been praying for us, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. God is bringing you closer to Him through their unbelief. God is drawing you closer to Him through your child's unbelief because you are asking Him and talking to Him more about those children. It can be challenging to show people who you love that Jesus is the way. Sometimes sharing it with the family is the hardest kind of witness. Luke 6:28 says, "Blessed are those who curse you, who pray, and pray for those who mistreat you." So your family members might not actually curse you, or maybe they do. But mistreated may mean taken advantage of, hurting their feelings, being ignored. God clearly says to bless them. Now, I'm not saying that you should pour from an empty cup. I'm not saying that you should stay in an abusive relationship. I'm saying, yes, you need to set boundaries. But do not break off communication because of your own anger or your own heart's desires of breaking off the communication. Seek guidance in those situations. Maybe show them what love looks like by opening the door of communication, but not being a doormat. Pray for them. That's something that you can do without even communicating directly to them. I was told a story about a family who was out for the day doing a fun family activity. Everyone was complaining. Everyone was miserable. Dad said, "Forget it," packed everybody in the car and said, "We're going home." On the way home, he told them, "We're stopping for ice cream." The kids were baffled. They asked, "Why? We were just like being turds." And the dad said, "Well, Jesus loves me and gives me mercy and grace even when I am not the most pleasant child to be around. So I am showing that to you today." If it was me, I would have gotten the ice cream by myself and made my kids watch me eat it. But thankfully it wasn't me teaching that lesson, because I wouldn't be very good at teaching the lesson. But Jesus loves us even when we are undeserving. So again, be the resource. To the 10th generation may also mean reaching out to grandchildren, to nephews, nieces, aunts, uncles. Like my mom was saying, her uncle is the one that brought her to the Lord. And that changed her whole trajectory of where her family was going. And then she then, thankfully, was singing, so that made my grandfather come. You never know, and even the girl that I was talking to, that changed her life course of knowing Jesus. In Deuteronomy 4:9, it says, "Only be careful and watch yourselves closely, so you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them fade from your heart. Teach them to your children and to their children after them." To the 10th generation, that puts a lot of pressure on me. Hopefully, like me, it'll make you turn more towards Jesus. Even now, I'm changing and editing my parenting style. Jack's my guinea pig. So how I parent him is a little bit different than how I'm going to parent Sammy at the same age. Thankfully, my child's salvation, though, is not dependent upon me, upon my actions. All I can do is ask God to use me as a tool and to use my actions as a tool to point them to God, or use my actions as a pool, actions that are wrong to point them to God, whatever way, because again, I am also not perfect. I might have inherited some of that anger. But as a mom, it's very refreshing to hear that his mercies are new every morning. They're new for me and they're new for my children. I need to be praying more, getting into the Bible more, pointing to them, having mom time with other moms, collaborating. I need to talk to my children, teach them about what I am learning, give them the space to have conversation with me about what they are learning, even when it's 10 and 11 o'clock at night and I am very tired. Most importantly, know that only Jesus saves, so all you can do as a mom or a dad is obey, and no matter what the outcome, your role is to be obedient and be a light for your family members. The other thing I wanted to express is, no matter how many times you mess up, like, God uses broken people to further his kingdom. I was looking through the genealogy of Jesus. I will not go through all of that for you guys. But there was Abraham. He lied about his sister being his wife 2 times. And then his son, Isaac, lied about his wife being his sister. That's just weird, I don't know. Judah was in his line. He failed to provide for his daughter-in-law after God judged the sins of his 2 sons. So he later ended up having a child with his daughter-in-law because she pretended she was a prostitute. In that same sense, the daughter-in-law pretended she was a prostitute and had a child with her father-in-law. And they're in the line of Jesus. David committed adultery. He committed murder. And God said he was a man after his own heart. I did learn about a king named Ahaz. Hopefully I'm saying that right. His father was a great man of God, and he really did lead the Israelites to point towards Jesus. I do not know what happened with this kid, but the next king that came up, he started worshiping other gods, and he ended up burning his sons alive as a human sacrifice to one of his gods. And those are all in the genealogy of Jesus. Like, God uses broken people. Thankfully, I have not murdered any of my sons yet. But I have spoken harshly to them. I have lost my patience on them a time or two. And like I said, his mercies are new every morning. So thankfully, God can still use me as a resource to show his love to them through me. So I'm finishing up. Mom, how are you introducing and showing Jesus in your home? Even just by thinking about that is a good thing to do so that you can be more intentional. How are you continuing to show Jesus to your adult children and your grandchildren? What are you doing? What are you needing to be the resource for your children? Again, you can't pour from an empty cup. Are you having conversations with your children about why you do the things you do, why your family are doing the things that you do? So God is using us in big ways today, tomorrow, and apparently to the 10th generation and more. So one day, hopefully, I will be able to stand before God and have a bunch of children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren in heaven who have all looked towards him. What I'm going to do now is I'm not going to keep it too long, so I'm going to pray, and then we have a song. Okay, real quick, we're going to pray. Dear Jesus, thank you that we are here today. Thank you that I have the privilege of standing up here and talking. Help my mumbled words to sink in, and hopefully what I said, Lord, I pray that you have changed my words to make it understanding for those who are in the audience. I did not slow down a lot, but help them to just understand that what we do has influence over a lot of people, and showing your love to others is a commandment, and it's very important. Thank you that it's Mother's Day. Thank you that we get to honor our moms and that our children get to honor us. And whatever way that looks, help us to have a good rest of the day. In Jesus' name, amen. He's up here. He's like a surprise.
Thanks, Sarah. One of the other songs she mentioned was Father Abraham, so you can...